Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
This is Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood, and we're reporting from New Orleans. 5 years have passed since the storms that flooded the city, reshaped the region, and left indelible images in our minds. The long climb back from Hurricanes Katrina and Rita became even harder this April when BP's doomed rig let loose a torrent of oil. Today, we revisit some of the people and places we reported on in the wake of Katrina. We'll hear who's made it back and how the Gulf Coast might recover from the storms, the spill, and the grinding constant threat of coastal erosion.
About 8 months after Katrina, I was reporting from Louisiana's Plaquemines Parish. That's where the Mississippi Delta branches into a bird's foot and the land melts into the Gulf. Towns like Venice, Port Sulphur, and Empire were just beginning to rebuild. I got curious about the small gravel roads that climbed up and over the levee and the people that lived beyond that protective wall of earth. So I picked one at random and drove it to the end, through the treeless marsh, to a boat landing. That's where I met Raymond Race and Nicholas Bartholomew, both fishermen in their 60s and both still struggling to come back from Katrina.
This is Grand Bayou Village, they call this. So it's, all the guys around here is called Grand Bayou Village. We all live right here. And the only thing we do is trawl and catch horses all our lives. That's all we do, you know. So we're just hoping to get back in business.
We didn't make a lot of money, but we made a living. We made a living. That was the main thing. But Katrina came and took that away from us, and we can't get no help from nobody.
Mr. Bartholomew said he couldn't get assistance to fix his heavily damaged boat. Mr. Race said most of the village's 25 or so homes on stilts above the water at the bayou's edge were still uninhabitable. Some people were living in FEMA trailers in nearby towns. They showed me where Mr. Race and some others were living, in the 10 by 12 foot cabins of their shrimp trawlers.
But they live on there for 6 months during the storm. 6 months they live on this boat.
Right here.
There were four or five of
them. Four or five people living in this little cabin.
Yeah. They had two bunks, the stove, a little bathroom, you know, and three or five person in here. Kind of crowded, you know. You know.
What do you think is going to happen here? Is this community going to come back the way it was?
I'm going to tell you right now. Them people here, they die hard. They're going to come back. They're going to come back. Unless they find a better place to live. But I don't believe they find a better place than this. This is like in heaven, you know. Everybody was together. It was a big old family, you know. So I don't believe they're going to split up.
It was like a big old family. Yeah. When they cook, everybody eat. How many dinners they giving this here? People coming to eat. Grand Bayou. The home of the free.
Like I said, I don't know when he'll come
back. But he will be back. Oh, yeah, definitely. He will be back.
It'll take time, but he's going to come back.
I might not see it because I'm getting older. But this place will bloom again.
That was spring 2006. This summer, I went back to that same boat landing to see if people had come back to Grand Bayou. I recognized Raymond Race as soon as his boat pulled up. His hair might be a bit whiter now, but it's a full head of hair that shines against his deeply tanned skin. He looks fit and happy. In December, he finally moved into his house after living on his trawler, the Uncle Norris, a lot longer than he had planned.
4.5 years. Now, that time you seen it was on Uncle Norris, living in a little bitty boat. Now we got a house, so we're living in a house. We got everything we need, you know, hot water. We're doing good. We're happy. We're better than the boat. Yeah.
But shortly after Mr. Reyes got into a house, he was out of work. The BP oil spill closed the shrimp and oyster beds. He's been getting by with oil cleanup work.
I got my son here helping me working on the oil spill, so we're doing good. You know, we're happy now. You know, not what we want to do, but like I said, we're doing something. We're paying the bills, so we'll do all right. You know, we survived Katrina. This we can survive this too. You know. So like I said, the only thing I put out trust in the good Lord and things will be fine.
Why was it so important to you to stay in Grand Bayou Village?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. My mom married my stepdad when I was 2 years old, and I've been here ever since. I'm 66 years old. Why would I change now? You know, that's my livelihood, so I'm going to stay here. Yep. So, you know, we got burial ground right there, so why move? Everything is there, you know? Yeah. Everything we need is here. All of my family is here, so where can I go, you know?
Catching up with Mr. Reyes years after we first met, I finally started to understand his strong sense of place and community. Grand Bayou is a Native American village. They are the Atakapa Ishak people. So when Mr. Reyes talks about the burial grounds, that's not just a cemetery. It's a burial mound. History for Grand Bayou stretches back centuries before the first Western settlers arrived. And for all that time, they've made a living from the bayou. Now there's deep concern about whether that way of life can continue. Rosina Philippe meets me at the landing in a small boat. It's the only way to get around in Grand Bayou Village, where Main Street is a waterway. Miss Philippe's 54. She has a long black braid and a steady gaze. She's Grand Bayou's unofficial historian.
We're in Grand Bayou right now. You can see some of the remnants of the homes.
Of the people who were displaced by Katrina, how many do you think have come back?
Well, we only have managed to return 9 families.
Out of how many who were here? 9 out of 23.
Yeah, well, we're still in recovery from Katrina with rebuilding the homes, returning people, you know, back to the village to reclaim their lives. It's an ongoing process. And it seems that other things crop up to kind of bleed our energies and our attentions away from, you know, that focus, like with the oil disaster in the Gulf.
The bayou's waters still teem with life, shrimp, crabs, and oysters.
Porpoises in the water.
Oh, my gosh, there they are. Yeah, coming right at us.
Yes, they're wonderful to watch.
When BP's oil hit the nearby bay, it struck at the very core of Grand Bayou's existence.
It's one of the most serious impacts we've ever felt. We've been here in this region for more than 1,000 years. We're the first peoples in this region. And we have had losses from natural hazards, some from human-induced impacts, but even at the worst of times and all of these other occurrences, we were still able to feed ourselves and to provide at least food for our families. And now that's threatened. And we do not know the long-term impacts.
The backdrop to all this is that the land itself is disappearing. South Louisiana is eroding at an alarming rate. As much as a football field is lost every 40 minutes. It started with river levees cutting off the sediment-rich floodwaters that nourished the marsh. Natural subsidence of the soft delta soil accelerated. Then came the oil wells and miles of canals for pipelines and platforms that carved up the delicate wetlands.
They came in and they manipulated nature and they took and took and took. They cut canals and allowed the salt water to intrude. A lot of the trees and vegetations died off. You know, we've seen all these things take place. And now that we know better, I do believe that there are things that can be done, and there are some things being done, but it's not aggressive enough because, you know, it's almost like you're giving a critical patient an aspirin when they have cancer.
People from Grand Bayou are now helping coastal researchers better understand land loss in a partnership between science and traditional ecological knowledge.
Oh, it's invaluable. I mean, I don't know that we could have done this study without having that knowledge.
That's Matt Bethel at the University of New Orleans. Bethel's project pairs up satellite and aerial images of the shrinking coast with the intimate knowledge that fishermen and trappers have of the local land.
They were able to fill in the blanks between image shots that we had and tell us, okay, what was going on here? What did you observe here while you're out fishing and trapping? That would explain some of the things we were seeing in these satellite images.
That level of detail could help guide restoration projects to save the marsh. Bethel clicks through decades of aerial images of Grand Bayou. Narrow channels of oil pipeline canals widen into rivers over time. Small ponds become lakes, and acres of land turn to open water. At this rate of loss, Grand Bayou could soon be swallowed by the Gulf of Mexico.
You know, there are maps produced that show that this whole area will be gone by 2050. And the Grand Bayou people have seen those maps. They know that. If they all move off and they scatter, they'll tell you they're not the same people. They're tied to the land. And without that, you know, they don't have anything.
The coastal erosion has national implications, as does the oil spill, as did Katrina. But the tiny community of Grand Bayou is on the front line of all three, a microcosm of major challenges. Rosina Philippe says her people have learned to live in a changing environment. But now the changes come so quickly, it's harder to adapt.
And I've been asked this, you know, well, why do you put up with this? You know, why do you stay? Why do you fight to return? And I could only say that if you were here in Grand Bayou and you could know the peace and see what I see, this is our place in the universe. This is where the Creator set us down. In spite of all the impacts that have come at us, both natural and human-induced, we're still here. This is where we belong.
She kills the engine, and we sit and listen a moment to the marsh.
We have our sacred places still. We're a mounds culture, mounds builders, and they're suffering from erosion. And that's the original site, you know, of our people here. Many, many, many generations.
What would it mean if burial mounds went underwater?
They have. There used to be 12. We have 3 now. It's a loss. I can't even tell you the loss. You know, I can't even translate that into words. And to see the erosion, to see the trees falling over because the land has eroded away, I just wonder what the future generations, you know, they'll just have our history and our story, but they won't have that place.
See photos of Grand Bayou and its people and maps showing coastal land loss at our website, loe.org.
In a moment, we'll look at what the people of the Gulf Coast want their government to do to help rebuild their lives and livelihood. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.